again, and Chuck will get you one. You fill in the blanks a little bit if you like. That'd be great. Thank you for being here this morning. I think it was last year or the year before, our youngest daughter and her family, Emily's down in South Carolina, and she, her church was not singing the traditional Easter hymns, and she was frustrated. She wanted to sing them all, so she went online, and she's looking at all the, and there's a lot of churches in Greenville. She couldn't find a church. I'm sure there's some down there singing the songs. So she went on our website, and she heard Brian singing, and she was, her heart was glad. So we appreciate Brian so much and you being here this morning. Going to take a little bit of break this morning from 2 Corinthians and look at three resurrection bonuses with you as we celebrate our Resurrection Sunday. Three resurrection bonuses, there's a lot of them, but when you read the resurrection accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, two observations jump off the page. There's probably more than two, but two observations I find emerge. First observation is that the resurrection was totally unexpected by those who first saw the Lord on the first Sunday. Even right up to the Ascension Day, it says some doubted. The resurrection was totally unexpected. What did they expect to find on Sunday morning going to the tomb? What did they expect to find? Yeah, body. The others were hiding. All right, they had zero expectation. I wasn't going to go here, but look at Matthew 27, 62 through 66. Might be a humorous account. You know the story. But this is what's going on. Matthew chapter 27, 62. It says, the next day, that would be Saturday here, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together before Pilate. And I think that the religious leaders expected resurrection. They didn't believe in Christ. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. But they expected something to happen. What happened when Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead? We'll mention that a little later on this morning. What happened? What do they want to do with Lazarus? Yeah, so they saw these miracles occurring, but they didn't connect it with faith in Christ. All right, so here we are. The religious leaders, they gathered before Pilate, and I'm wondering what Pilate's thinking, and said, "Sir, we remember how that imposter said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise. Therefore, or the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away.'" And by the way, if you're put to death, if it's a capital punishment, your disciples are going to get a lot in trouble if they hang around too, so that you're not going to find the disciples. But the religious leaders are saying, maybe the disciples are going to come and steal the body and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first. What do you think Pilate was thinking? I have no idea. I wonder if he was just laughing to himself and says, go guys, knock yourselves out. Knock yourselves out. Here's a guard, seal the tomb, and if it makes you happy, go ahead and do it. And he said, you have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. The disciples weren't looking for resurrection. Perhaps, and this is just a conjecture, perhaps the religious leaders were afraid that might actually happen, and you can trace that story. Mark chapter 10, many times through the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples that he was going to go up, he was going to suffer, he was going to die, and on the third day be raised from the dead. Mark chapter 10, verse 33, I'm going to start at verse 32 here. It says, and they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Taking the 12, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Here it is, very clear, saying, see, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered over the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, deliver him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill them. And then what's the rest of the verse say? Yet, after 3 days, he will what? Rise again. They heard that. They heard that. Or maybe better, the disciples hear Jesus, but they didn't hear him. All right, they heard him, but they really didn't hear him. We know the Word of God tells us, other passages, that it was spiritually kept from them. Their eyes were sort of blind a little bit. They had other expectations in mind. What were the expectations the disciples had when he talks about death? What did they have in mind? Get rid of the Romans. or who's going to have first and second place in the kingdom. And they had other things. They were distracted. John 20, verse 9 says, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." Totally unexpected. As we said before, they were hiding. They were in fear. They were discouraged. So first observation, the resurrection was unexpected. They didn't expect to see the Lord Jesus on that resurrection day. Second observation, once the disciples were convinced of the resurrection, they would never be the same. And they would experience or exhibit, on your notes, a permanent change or spiritual transformation. Amazing. Supernatural. Well, they still would sin. They still erred on some issues. They would even experience occasional fallouts. But these men never again, it seemed, doubted that Jesus was really resurrected from the dead. And you'll find, as you study the book of Acts and the epistles, that they had a new, unexplainable boldness. They were fearless. There was no going back. Their fear of death seemed to completely vanish. I hope you're praying for what's the issue in Nigeria right now. Very few people are reporting what's going on. I believe it was last Sunday, Palm Sunday, a bunch of believers went to worship on Palm Sunday. They were executed by Islamics. And that's continuing over there. Pray for these men and women and children. There is no fear of death because they understand resurrection. And when you really grasp resurrection, all fear disappears. Let me just say this, a note in my notes. I always, Roberta and I used to argue about this years ago in a nice way. But resuscitation and restoration is not the same as resurrection. You know that, right? Every now and then, and my wife was reading a book about all these people who were on their deathbed experience, and some would leave their bodies, hover around, go to the next room, check out the snack, all kind of crazy stories out there. And they'd come back to their bodies, and you just come back. That's not resurrection, okay? Once you're resurrected, you never die again. By the way, was Lazarus restored or resurrected? Why do you know that's true? Right, he died again. Okay, so let's get that out of the way, all right? Resurrected body, and we're looking at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which is exciting. That's our hope, never to die again. And let me read this to you as well. As believers, you and I are trusting Jesus Christ, living in this, what we call, inner Advent age. Peter says it this way to us, to you. He says, "Though you have not seen him," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And we rejoice this morning. Amen. Well, as we celebrate, declare, and confess the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, let me remind you, I didn't copy this off of anybody, so if it doesn't fly, it's my fault, okay? Let me remind you of three resurrection bonuses. You may think they're unique, they are, but I want to encourage you to take advantage of them. Some years ago, one of my corporate sons said, "Dad, you have the wrong credit card," which is no surprise. So Joey hooked us up with the right credit card, and he says, "This credit card comes with some bonuses, but if you don't use them, you're not going to get them." And one of the bonuses, I think you get X amount of dollars back, and it accrues in your account, but if you never use it, you'll never get it. You know, one of those things is not automatic. So there's just some things with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I have. We have, but we need to learn how to appropriate it, okay? So let's try this morning. And if it doesn't fly well, we have cookies for you, and then we have another lesson afterwards. Okay, Roman, I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you. Okay, bonus number one. I'll call this targeted repentance. Targeted repentance. Is that what it says up there? Okay, good. Let me define repentance. And boy, there's 99 different definitions of repentance these days. We want to define repentance as a profound change of mind leading to a new direction or behavior. Repentance does not necessarily mean being sorry or have remorse, although that may be involved. I believe that when you get saved, repentance is involved because you're turning from whatever you're trusting in and placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a kind of a repentance. And you understand as you read the epistles that repentance is to be ongoing during the Christian life. We're always repenting, always changing our mind and changing our behavior as we're exposed to the Word of God. And even the Apostle Paul was going through times and periods of repentance in his own life. I want to go back with you for a moment, and we'll go backwards through the Scriptures this morning. I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we haven't looked at that in several months now, verse 8, 9, and 10, where I see a targeted repentance. I see a targeted repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8, 9, and 10. This is Paul, part of Paul's autobiography. And let me read to you, right? It says, Paul, and I'm breaking in context here, he says, "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but what? On God, who does what? Raises the dead." Who raises the dead? "He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us." All right? Paul went through some horrendous afflictions as he was serving the church. And the question you ask is, why did God permit or designed unwelcomed situations in Paul's life? And that's putting it mildly. Why did God allow this? What did Paul need to learn? Or why does God permit or design unwelcome situations in your life? Anyone going through an unwelcome situation? You don't have to raise your hand. I mean, they're happening all the time. It's just amazing. When one is done, another seems to come. What lessons do we need to learn as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do we need to learn? And this is where the targeted repentance comes in, if I could call it that. Look at verse 9, the last part of verse 9. Paul says, "But that was," all these things he went through, "that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." To rely, to trust on God who raises the dead, that's our future. That's a resurrection bonus. Our need is to move from self-confidence, thinking we can fix it, to trusting God. Trusting God, seeing things from his perspective. Targeted repentance is the process of relying less on ourselves and more on God who raises the dead. It is a weaning away. Did you ever have to pull or hide the pacifier from your kids when they were younger? I mean, that's sometimes you have to do that. If not, they'll be 21 still sucking on that thing, all right? And sometimes God has to come along and... Not sometimes, often God will come along and bring something into your life to wean you away from trusting your own self, your own wisdom, and leaning on him. It's a painful process, but school is always for the believer in session. There's always something new to learn. Targeted repentance, turning and trusting. Bonus number one. Bonus number two. Bonus number two. Second resurrection bonus, we'll call ongoing discipleship. Ongoing discipleship, based on resurrection. That's ongoing discipleship is the process of having our faith in Christ grow deeper and deeper and deeper. Often we hear salvation like you make a decision and that's it. Someone asks you to pray a prayer or make a decision and you're set for life. Well, you trust Christ, that's the decision you need to make, Jeff was very clear on that last week, but it's the whole life of growing in grace, learning what the Lord Jesus Christ operates in our lives. In fact, Peter put it this way to Christians who were pretty mature. He said, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." What's Peter saying? We need to continue to grow. We need to grow deeper, deeper in Christ. And a key element or ingredient of this would involve focusing or meditating on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? By the way, let me ask you, how do you meditate on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you do? What do you do to accomplish that? What do you do?
Study Scripture.
Can you read the gospel accounts? What else? It's getting warm up here. All right. Hey, don't sing. You're right. Sing. All right. You look at the epistles, you look at the gospel accounts. And by the way, if you need a Bible, we want to give you a Bible before you leave, or we want to give you a copy of 2 Corinthians as we're studying that. We want to make sure you get a copy of that. I like to read good Easter meditations. I'm reading through, we had the joy of being in Philadelphia and attending during the evening services, 10th Presbyterian Church, which had a wonderful Easter service. And we got to sit under the ministry of Dr. James Montgomery Boyce. That was wonderful. And he put a lot of his Easter messages into one book. And so I've been reading through those during the week. That just really helps you grow in grace and meditate on what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And here's something for you. Write this down and go find it. PBD, Pat Bet David, just did a podcast interview with Lee Strobel, which is exciting. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that when you're looking for an apologetic for the resurrection. Those kind of things. Because of the resurrection, life has changed. Now, if you have your Bibles, I just want to dip here for a few moments. We're not going to do much with this. But go to John chapter 11. We mentioned Lazarus before. But let me offer a couple ideas here. John chapter 11. You know the story. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. I believe all believers in Jesus Christ, all right, all had a good relationship with him. In fact, in John chapter 11, verse 5, it says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We believe Jesus loves everybody, but there was some unique relationship going on here. By the way, what happened to Lazarus? You remember the story. What's going on here? Got sick. What'd he have? Okay. What happened to him? He died. All right? And there's a lot going on here. But let me jump into just to show you. Mary and Martha, they're struggling, but they still had confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they still had confidence. Verse 20, John 11, let me jump down to verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, what does she say? She says, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. She had confidence in Christ to the point of restoration. Look at verse 24. Martha said to Jesus, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. That's what the Old Testament believers expected. At the end of the age, there'd be a final resurrection. There'd be a final judgment. That was her hope. So she had confidence in Christ. She had future hope. But Mary and Martha have questions. They have questions. This doesn't make sense. Why did Jesus delay? Why now? How does this happen? What if? So, to further disciple these believing women, and discipling is teaching a person more about the Lord Jesus Christ so they could have a deeper relationship with him. To further disciple these believing women, Jesus offers a new and deep revelation of himself. And you know it. We used to sing this in the chorus. And sometimes we hear this so often, we just don't pay attention. And maybe we don't understand the full thrust of what Jesus is saying anyhow. In John 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus gives them a deeper revelation, a new revelation of himself, indicating he's God. But he says this, you know it. And I'm not going to sing the song. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. She was talking about resurrection on the last day. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What is Jesus saying? He is the resurrection. There's something profound there. Where he is, there is life. There is life. And Mary and Martha needed to learn more of that. They needed to grasp that. I believe they were believers, but they needed to grow deeper in their confidence and in their faith and their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Jesus is not speaking about feelings because they were feeling kind of bad. He was talking about himself. And then you know the story. Verse 43, 44, Lazarus is restored from death to life. Mary and Martha's faith grows. One author said, the real resurrection takes place when an individual comes face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's growing faith. That's trust in Christ. My friend, who for almost 30 years was executive director at Keswick, about a year or so ago suffered a pretty bad stroke. And he's not out of the woods yet. I mean, Bill Welty was an amazing leader and speaker and musician, wonderful musician. And it's frustrating for him as he continues to go through rehabilitation. He was hoping he'd bounce back right away, but he's struggling. But he said to me on several occasions, he said, you know what it's done for him? He said, it lets you know that Jesus is all you need, and he is all that matters. And we're praying that God would fully restore Bill one day, but in the meanwhile, that's the message. That's the message. You need to grow deeper in Christ based on resurrection. That's what we need. That's what I need. Deeper relationship with Christ. That's part of the resurrection bonus. Third bonus. This was strange. Okay, so there's targeted repentance, ongoing discipleship. I'm going to wade into a little deeper water here and give you a third, and I hope Dr. Cohen's not listening to this one. Third bonus, we'll call this rock-solid confidence or assurance. Rock-solid confidence or assurance. Or practical day-to-day confidence for living. No matter what happens in Washington or Iran, no matter what the economy does and is not doing too good, no matter what trials may come, and they will come like waves in the ocean, we can have, based on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, present, rock-solid confidence, or as Brian will always lead us at a cemetery, victory in Jesus. Okay, we have victory in Jesus. Let me go to, for just a moment or so, the book of Job. The book of Job, considered by some to be one of the oldest books in the Old Testament. Very, very godly man. And if you read the book of Job, and I'm sure most of you have, it just begins with this cosmic conflict where Satan comes along and says to God, you know, if you weren't treating him so well, Job wouldn't be doing this well. And so God gave Satan permission to go after Job, everything except take his life. You know the story. Job ultimately lost his possessions, and he had a lot. His 10 children were killed. Eventually, he lost his health. And what do you know about his wife? What do you know about his wife? Man, my wife's an encouragement continually. She doesn't always tell me what I want to hear, but she's an encouragement. Job's wife went dark for a while. She just went to the dark side. His closest friends and... I forget who it was. I was reading lately. He said, you know, sometimes you got to decide not to be friends with these guys anymore. Sometimes you need new friends. But his closest friends, what did they tell him? They kind of abused him by saying, there must be some secret sin in your life. Otherwise, all this stuff wasn't going on. Well, in Job 19, 25 and 26, maybe a strange verse to read on Easter morning. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's an appropriate. Job says this, Job believed, he had confidence. He had confidence. Didn't have the New Testament, didn't know what we know. He had confidence that there was an individual who would vindicate him, raise him from the dead, and one day enable him to see God. And I believe in advance, he was trusting Christ. Job 19, 25 and 26. These are great verses. And I need to do a deep dive here sometime. Job said in the midst of all of what he was going through, and it was bad. He said, for I know that my, what's it say? Redeemer lives. And that at the last, he will stand upon the earth. Who's he talking about? It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh, I shall see God. What's he referring to? His own resurrection. He was going to die, perhaps, even if he had to die. There's hope. There's victory. His body would be redeemed by an actual living redeemer. He says, my redeemer. There's personal trust. There's personal confidence. And things weren't going well. Things were going well. Well, we know the end of the story. Things were restored. And I don't see anywhere in the book of Job where God said, by the way, Job, you were just an object lesson. Job probably never knew until he got to heaven. But Job exhibits rock-solid confidence. Who told Job about Christ? I have no idea. I had no idea. Who talked to him about a redeemer? I don't know. But he had that confidence that one day he would be raised from the dead based on his Redeemer. Rock solid confidence as he looked forward to the future resurrection by faith. Paul will put it this way. Paul will put it this way. At the end of, by the way, what's the resurrection chapter before it goes on there? What's the famous resurrection chapter in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians 15. After Paul does a wonderful exposition and apologetic for the resurrection, he says this by way of application. 57 and 58. He says, but thanks be to God who gives us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We mentioned this name before, but Sue and I used to hang around. Everything's years ago, isn't it? Everything's years ago. We used to hang around Word of Life up in Screw Lake, New York, and the founder and director, Jack Worsen, he's with the Lord. He's been with the Lord a long time, but he used to say all the time, he used to get up there, and he used to say we're living on the victory side. We're living on the victory side. And that's a choice. You could live a discouraged life if you want to, or you could say, based on what Christ did, I'm going to live on the victory side. Verse 58, Paul says to the church back here, he says to you this morning, based on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, here it is. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That's why Paul could go through stoning and dungeon and all the afflictions he talked about because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rock solid confidence, living in victory now. So what? Two things this morning. Two things before we observe the Lord's table. Number one, make sure, I don't know all of you, make sure that you have appropriated the gospel, the truth of the gospel. Make sure you know Jesus Christ. Make sure you're trusting in Christ and Christ alone. There's a lot of talk about Jesus today. There's a lot of talk about Jesus in our culture, but I'm not sure they understand what's going on there. Make sure that you understand that when Christ died, you're trusting him. He paid for your sin on the cross, taking the punishment you and I deserve. Make sure you're trusting Christ. And if you're not sure, we're here this morning. We want to talk with you. Don't leave before you know without a shadow of a doubt, you're trusting Christ. Second thing, if you're in Christ, I want to encourage you to enjoy your bonuses. You know, one day I called that credit card company. I had some money accrued there. I called that credit card company because I'm not an online guy. And I said, hey, I'd like to spend that money. And they said, well, that's really nice. And so they let me appropriate. Yeah, it was really nice. They let me appropriate that bonus. If I didn't, they wouldn't care. And if I died, no one would probably ever see it. All right? It's one of those kind of things. Targeted repentance, your spiritual growth. Don't take it for granted. Your targeted repentance. Just expose your heart to the Word of God, asking God, the Spirit, how you can change and enjoy it. Enjoy that spiritual growth. There's that ongoing discipleship, knowing Christ deeper and deeper, and rock solid confidence. Rock solid confidence we can have no matter what we go through. Wonderful. All because of God's amazing grace. Father, as we take a few moments this morning to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your Son, and may we redeem the time, knowing the days are evil. May you give us a heart of wisdom as we live for you in this world. And may we appropriate these wonderful things you have given to us based on the wonderful resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.